we left off the previous year discussing the Shittas of Rashba. The Rashba makes a big, big point in Kiddushin of Hay to tell us, you know, if a person writes a document that says, I owe you X amount of money, that is not the halacha equivalent of giving kesef. If and when you give the kesef, we'll discuss it, but right now, just the fact that you created a shibud of kesef, that's not considered to be kesef. So the Rashi brought you a few rayas, and it's based on his whole theory that he learned the Gemara condition of hay a little bit different than Rashi learned. But now we have to go back to Shittas Rashba and see, is that really right or not? Is there any Gemara that contradicts the Rashba? The Rashba had a few rayas that we deflected. Is there any Gemara that seems to pose a problem to the Rashba? So it's a Gemara on the back of the first page of the Marmakomos, at the very, very bottom, in Marmakom number 8. Where the Gemara is discussing it after Zion and Aleph, how to kona an Eved Ivri. So the Gemara quotes a Brisa that says Tana. We looked at a Brisa. The konas atzmo the kesef v'shava kesef. So actually, we're not talking about the Eved Ivri being bought. He's actually talking about him buying himself back. So the Eved Ivri was already sold years ago, and now he wants to free himself. So he can wait until 6 years. That's true if he wants to, or if he's lucky, Yovel will come. So there are a couple of other things that could free him, but he wants to jump the gun. He wants to free himself. So the Braisa says that he can free himself by either giving kesef, if he pays for the remaining of the money. So let's say, for example, he was sold as an Eved Ivri for 6 years at $60,000. So each year is $10,000. He worked already for 2 years, so then he pays, well, $40,000 and he's done. So that's konas atzmo b'kesef, u'b'shava kesef. And there's no need for him to give back actual money. He can give back shava kesef as well, something that's worth the money, u'b'shtar. And the third way he could do it is he could free himself through a shtar. So the Gemara analyzes each one of them. So bishlama kesef. So I understand what kesef is. Tichsim b'kesef k'dos. The pasuk in Chumash, a fairish that says an Eved Ivri is purchased through kesef. Shava kesef nami. I understand that he can give back something that's valuable, something that's worth money. Yashiv gulos amrachamon. The rabba shava kesef kesef. The gzeres k'dos of Yashiv teaches us that shava kesef is kesef. You may remember all the way back at the beginning of the year when we mentioned that according to some Rishonim, this is actually the source of shava kesef kesef in Kol HaTorah Kula, not just by Eved Ivri. This may be the source for Kedushin as well. So the fact that we all got married using shava kesef, I don't think anybody here got married with kesef mamish, we all got married with a ring with shava kesef. So we are in effect relying on this Russia for shava kesef kesef by Eved, which is then extrapolated to other areas of Halacha as well. But now the Gemara says what's tricky is in the third case, what does a shtar mean? What do the words mean a shtar? So Gemara asks, Ilaim de kasav le shtara adame. If the person writes an IOU to the adam, I'm going to pay you kesef. Ask the Gemara, I know kesef. What says, I don't need a brisa to tell me that. That's subsumed under the category of kesef. So the Gemara is asking on the lashon of brisa, how could the brisa list off his three available options to the heaven to free himself? Kesef, shava kesef, shtar. Shtar, by definition, is an expression of kesef, because kesef l'shtar, dami haynu kesef. So needless to say, this Gemara poses a very serious problem for the Rashba. It's hard to be more beferish than that. The Gemara just said, shtar, dami haynu kesef. So this undermines the entire Rashba's theory. So that's the bad news. The good news is that the Rashba wrote a perish on Daf Tezai himself, and he asks this question on himself, and he explains why this Gemara is not at all a contradiction to what he said. So if you take a look at the back, so he says the Rashba, in the ninth of the Marmakamas, for me, Akati Kashali, Maika Amar Hanu Kesef. What in the world does the Gemara mean when it says Hanu Kesef? Dimkein, if you're going to tell me that writing an IOU is the halakha equivalent of Kesef, Dimkein, I'm a Kaddish B'Kesef, for Kesef L'Shtar Alav, Tehema Kudeshes, Techshtar Dechsiv Alei Hanu Kesef, with a giant question mark. Would anybody say such a thing, that the writing of an IOU is kesef? It's almost like the Rashba has it in for us, said, don't you remember what I told you 11 bot earlier? And hey, but that's not called kesef. So of course Rashi, who disagreed with the Rashba back there, was probably smiling. The Ktos, who questioned the Rashba back there, is smiling and saying, yeah, this is the Gemara we've been looking for. This is the source that writing an IOU is kesef. So the Rashba says that. In order to understand why this Gemara does not pose a problem at all, we need a little bit of a better understanding of this Gemara. The part that we really need is actually in the next line of the Gemara. I should have really left the next line on the Marmakomos also. The reason why I didn't is because we had discussed it in a previous Marmakom. So usually for the boys, I try not to repeat too many of the Marmakomos, but I probably should have left it on. So I'll say this part, but I'll pet. The Gemara asked the Bam Kasha. The Gemara said, what's the case of Shtar? that appears in the Braisa as a method of freeing an Eved Ivri, isn't that Kesef? The Gemara says, no, you got it all wrong. That's not what the shtar that the Braisa is talking about is. The shtar document that frees an Eved Ivri is a document that the Adon writes, the master writes, that says, Hareya Tov Ben Chorin, you are hereby free. That's a different document than Gamri. We thought that the shtar of the Braisa was the Eved writing an IOU. The Gemara backtracks, so that's not the case. The case is, the master writing, you are hereby free. So the Gemara then goes on to ask, if that's the case of shtar, what do you need it for? Why does the Adon have to write on a piece of paper, you are free? Why can't the Adon just turn around to the Eved and say, you don't have to work anymore, go free. What do I don't need you to work for me anymore. Why do you need a shtar for? So it's to that question that the Gemara concludes, Amarava, Zaisimeris, Eved Ivri Gufo Kanui. That should bring back the memories of previous sugyas, where the Gemara says, no. Words alone isn't going to do the trick, because an Eved Ivri belongs to the Adon. If the Eved Ivri wouldn't have really belonged to the Adon, so then we could have said, words alone are going to do the trick. But since the din is that Eved Ivri is Gufo Kanui, he literally belongs to the Adon, you can't be mafkia kinin aguf without a shtar. Why that so? We spoke about this in previous sugyas with Rambans, with kinin mom and kinin isser and be'ens. There's a lot of lumdus to that line in the Gemara. But bottom line, something fundamental changed in the Gemara's understanding of what an Eved Ivri is. When all the dust settles, the Gemara understood that an Eved Ivri, in a certain sense, what that sense is questionable, but in a certain sense belongs, quote-unquote, to the other. What did the Gemara think beforehand? Before the Gemara realized that Eved Ivri Gufo Kanui, up until that point, the Gemara thought that the relationship of Eved Ivri to an Adon was just kind of a working relationship. It was almost like an obligation. You know, I accepted upon myself to work. You're going to support me. I'm living in your house. I'm going to do your work for you. You know, it was a very, very vague kind of a relationship that didn't involve a real transaction. So comes the Rashba and says, it's that Havamina of the Gemara that doesn't change until the very last line that now explains the sugya that we're up to. So go back to the Rashi, the night to the Rambam comes. V'yesh lomar. Tahashtuhu dekarmin and hochi. The only reason why the Gemara said, oh, writing a shtar is the same as giving cash, v'shum diakate lo yadinan de gufo konoi. We didn't know yet that an Eved Ivri is gufo konoi. V'eino ela kichov. We thought that the relationship of an Eved is just simply almost an external tangential obligation to work, but there's no kidding a guf. Of Alamaskana the Amar Rava, but when Rava finally changes everything and teaches us Eved Ivri Gufo Kanui, once Rava tells us that Eved Ivri is Gufo Kanui, and therefore you need a Kinyan to change the status of Eved Ivri, Kozman, we thought that Eved Ivri was not Gufo Kanui, so you don't need a Kinyan to change your status. Once Rava was Mechadesh, Eved Ivri is Gufo Kanui, now that we need a Kinyan, guess what? Ikasav Lishtar Adame, Lo Nomik. Now in the Maskanas of Gemara, if the Eved would try to write an IOU to the master, we would have to say that's no good. The Kesevein Kan Shtarein Kan, like the Rashba said back in our Gemara in Daf Hey, that the writing of an IOU is nothing. Then the Rashba concedes Vitzarchiyim. He's not 100% sure what he just said, but it sounds like it's a good refutation. So when all the dust settles, the Rashba still sticks to his position that an IOU is not called Kesef. End of discussion. An IOU does not qualify as Kesef. Maybe, in a fleeting Havamina, in Kiddush Nafte Zayin, before the Gemara realized that you need Kesef, so maybe the Gemara was entertaining the possibility you could free yourself by writing an IOU. But when all the dust settles, and an Eved Ivri is Gufo Kanui, or for our purposes, for Kiddushin, or for Pidgin Haben, anytime there's a din in Allah called Kesef, writing a document, writing an IOU, is not called Kesef. So, Adkan Devirei Rashba. So when all the dust settles in terms of our sugya now, if and when I need a kid in Kesef, I want a kid in Kesef, does an IOU suffice? So according to Rashi, it sounded like yes, that's a Rashi types up the Gemara in Kiddush Daf Hey, and the Rashba was vehemently opposed to that. How does this play out for us, Lamaisa, today? Do we ever have cases where we're going to try to almost invoke an IOU to be an official form of Kesef? I mean, think about it, mostly not. Most of the time not, because we're not getting married with IOUs, we're getting married with rings. We're not buying Eved Ivris anymore. We're not buying Eved Kenanis anymore. So what are we possibly purchasing? What are we possibly buying that we're going to think about using an IOU? So the only two things that we ever buy today are karka and metaltalin. So metaltalin is out of the picture anymore. because kesef is not an acceptable kinyan for metaltlin, that although min haTorah kesef is a method for kinyan metaltlin, with the rabbanon they did away with it. The Gemara explains in Bava Metzia, the way most Rishonim paskin, that although min haTorah you can go to the store and give a quarter, and the potatoes belong to you, even though you didn't pick it up, you didn't bring it home, you didn't do anything to it. Just the fact that I gave him a quarter, those potatoes are mine. With the rabbanon they did away with that kinyan, because it's a very dangerous, a very risky kind of a kinyan. Because if I give the money to the seller and I don't take the potatoes with me, so although those potatoes belong to me, there's nothing compelling the seller to watch over those potatoes for me. If those potatoes go up in smoke, he could say to me, what the Gemara says, Nisufu chitecha ba'aliyah. Sorry, Charlie, the wheat that you purchased, the $10,000 of wheat that you gave me money for, went up in smoke, and it's not my problem, because it's your wheat. So therefore, to avoid these kinds of situations, Chazal said, you know what, let's put a break on Kinyan Kesef. Let's have Kinyan Meshicha instead. Kinyan Meshicha is a much safer Kinyan, because after all, I picked it up, I took it home, I brought it to my house, so I dragged it with me. That's a much more safe Kinyan. But although min haTorah, Kesef is a good Kinyan. So therefore, when we buy things, we're not going to be using IOUs, we're not going to be using Kesef altogether. Unless, even in the realm of Vitaltalin, every once in a while, we may want to use a Kinyan Kesef. Why would we want? What would compel us to use a Kinyan Kesef? What if we want to own an object midda araisa? What if we don't want to own an object midda rabbanan? We don't want to rely on Kinyan Meshicha. We want to make sure that object is mine min haTorah. Why would anybody care whether the object is yours min haTorah? For Dini Mamanis purposes, it doesn't make a difference. Dini Mamanis, once I make a Kinyan Meshicha on something, whether I pay the cash or didn't pay the cash, it's 100% mine. Shulchan Aruch, I'm going to win the Din Torah. But there is a machlekes that we show him. What if we're dealing in a realm of a mitzvah, and the Torah says that this particular mitzvah requires that the object belong to you? For example, the mitzvah of Lulav Esrei. There's a din of Lochem. I can't borrow Lulav Esrei. I have to own the Lulav Esrei. So I have a strange shiloh. What's the din if I quote-unquote own the Lulav Esrei according to the Shulchan Aruch, but strangely enough, I don't own it according to the Torah itself? Means according to the Din de Rabbanan, to the Hefker Beis and Hefker, to all the Shulchan Aruch, the Psak Din in Tav Shinayin Zayin, I own this Lulav Esrei. But as I always tell the Bachurim, who are you asking the Shaila to? Are you asking Rav Yosef Karo, or are you asking Moshe Rabbeinu? If you're asking Rav Yosef Karo, yes, the Shulchan Aruch, he'd say, state in the Mishnah, Meshicha is Kaina, and that's it. I don't care, the Raisin, what's the difference? It belongs to you. On the other hand, if you would ask Moshe Rabbeinu, in the, I don't want to say the perfect world, but in the pre-Gemara world, so to speak, in the world of Moshe Rabbeinu, so the din d'oraisa is kesef is kainus, dvar Torah mos kainus. So technically speaking, min haTorah, you don't own that lulav esrei. So what's the din? Lo yitzuya that I made a kinyan meshicha and I haven't paid for it yet. Min d'oraisa, I don't own that esrei. Is that good for mitzvah d'oraisa? Not. That's a big machlokes as we showed him. Do we say that a kinyan d'rabbanan mahani lo d'oraisa? That owning something midirabbanan gives you enough ownership over it to be labeled you as even midaraisa based on hefker, based on hefker, maybe other principles. Or do I take a step back and say no? That for the purposes of diraisas, it has to belong to you midaraisa. Another example, learning Maseches Kedushin, the ring of the chosid. We would like that the couple gets married min haTorah. And in order for that to work, he has to own the kesef, he has to own the ring. The first question that Maseches Kedushin asks on the chuppah, is this your ring? Did you buy this ring with your own money? Does it really belong to you? So what if the person hasn't paid for the ring yet? What if he didn't shicha and he didn't have money? He picked it up, so the ring belongs to him technically mid the rabbanan, but it doesn't belong to mid the raisa. What's the din? Does he own that ring or not if he hasn't paid for cash yet? So can you say that the kinyan d'rabbanan meshicha suffices for the d'oraisas? That's a big, big, big machlokes at poskim. Well, nobody should get worried. I was talking, going to go back to the wedding video now and see, wait a second, did I pay that jewelry store beforehand? So you can take a little bit of a breather on that one, because there are probably other ways that you will come to the ring with d'oraisa. Even if you hold that meshicha doesn't work min haTorah, it could be that taking it into your house may have worked as a kinyan chotzer, taking it into your car may have worked as a kinyan kalim, putting it inside your hand totally may have worked, kinyan yah. So there may be half a dozen other ways that you may have owned that ring with the raisa, even if you didn't actually pay. But let's assume for now, a chassid comes and tells me, listen, Rabbi, I want to be married with a cholodei. I don't want to be married with a machlekes. I want to be married with a cholodeis. I want to own this ring. A fellow comes out of sukkah and says, listen, I want to make sure I own this dalad midim, min haTorah, without any questions. So I would definitely recommend, make sure you pay with kesef. Now, I have three different ways of paying with kesef. The best way is paying with cash. Pay with cash in the case of Gadol Mizeh. What if I'm a little low on cash, so I want to pay in two other possible methods? I want to pay with a check. What do you think about that? So I write a check to the jewelry store. I write a check to the Yesrin dealer. It's a very common thing. Okay, I give him a $100 check. I hand him the check on Erev Sukkos. He hands me the Levin Esrin. So if you hold that a kid in Mashiach is good enough, I did Mashiach already, I'm Yotze. If you hold that, well, I put it into my car and I own the car, so that's Kidin Caleb. If I put it into my house and I own the house, well, maybe even if I'm renting the house, that's a machlokes, so I'm renting the car, that's complicated, who owns the car, who owns the house, Zozai. But if you really, really want to make sure that you did Kesef to get it out of any of these shilas, did you do Kesef or not? You wrote a check saying, in effect, I hereby owe you $100, is that called an Asidus Kesef? So according to Rashi, back in Kedushin Daf Hei, who says that, yeah, what's the problem? Nesinus, Ksivus Ashtar, Al-Shem Kesef, that's called Kesef. Like the simple reading of the Gemara in Daf Tezayin. But according to the Rashba, who's been convincing us for the last 2 days, that, sorry, that whenever there's a din of Kesef, writing a Shtar is not called Kesef. How would the halacha view a check? Is the writing of a check the equivalent of the writing of a shtar? It's like a writing of an IOU. Or maybe the writing of the shtar, writing of the check, is perhaps more than an IOU. So I need some help from some people here who probably have a little better understanding of checks than I do. What exactly is the understanding of a check? Is a check really just an IOU saying that, listen, the bank owes me X amount of money, so I'm writing you a promissory note, in effect, and I'm giving you a right to go take the money out of the bank. It's nothing more than an IOU, or is a check halachically / legally more than an IOU? A check is mamish a kesef, like api halacha, api din de machusa. The government has declared that if I have a check which says Reuven owes me $100, that's like I have a $100 bill from Reuven. So which is a check? It's a tricky question.
I don't know the legal aspect. On the banking aspect, you have the ability to stop. Three things. You have the ability to stop the check. The bank has ability not to honor the check, even if you have money in cash. I know cases where the bank has closed the account and said we're not going to honor it, and then you know there are complications. So the fact that there's money in the account.
So Henry's bringing a good raya. So let's bring a raya from your first raya. I can stop the check. I mean, maybe there'll be penalties. Maybe who knows what's going to happen. It's going to be complications. But tachlis, the bottom line is, I wrote you a check. I handed it to you this morning. I could stop it in the afternoon, right? That's I could stop it. So,
tomorrow.
That seems to indicate that giving a check is not IAI as kesef as we thought that it is. Those who can do some of the legal homework for me, maybe after davening this morning. If I'm not mistaken, at least the way it was explained to me, is that there are differences in different checking systems in different countries. That apparently in England, the rules are a little bit different. The parameters of stopping checks in England are not the same as in Eretz Yisrael. So there are poskim who commented that it could be that this nuance of difference between whether a check is called kesef or whether it's just a plain old nesinus shtar may depend legally on what the rules are. That in America, apparently, since the ability to stop a check is part of the system, so that may be that may indicate that it's not really kesef. What makes it, most of us are not writing checks in England, but what does make it important for us is that apparently, again, this is all, everything I'm saying now is only as true as the sources that fed it to me, so if that's wrong, I take no responsibility for this, but apparently in Eretz Yisrael, they're still on the British system. There's a lot of things in Eretz Yisrael still on the British system, so somehow some of the laws in the secular law in Eretz Yisrael is a throwback to the Turks and a throwback to the British. So we haven't yet moved on past 1948 in terms of changing our banking system. So even though Baruch Hashem, I say it's a big bracha that they're driving the right side of the road in Eretz Yisrael. If one would have thought about it, it should have been fakir. The only reason why is because cars existed already pre-1917. So they already, the minute started based on the Turkish system, if I'm not mistaken. That's why, if cars would have started after 1917, we'd all be like we're in England. So just, if you give a cross a toe for the Turks for something, and then that one. If I'm not mistaken, I think that piece of tidbit of history is correct. Okay, we can check in that one also in case I'm wrong in that. But getting back to the story. So what's the story of the check? So in the United States of America, where the checking system doesn't seem to be kesef, this seems to be an issue. Again, according to those who want to be chayshish for this, couple of chumras over here. It means we're not even sure that you really have to own something with formal kesef anyway, min haTorah. We're not even sure that Ksiv Shtar is not called kesef, but I'm sure the Rashba is 100% is clearly not accepted by everybody. So those who want to be chayshish when they buy a little necessary, those who want to be chayshish when they buy a ring, not to pay by check. Okay, so I could hear. What about another option? Well, come on, pay with a credit card. That comes and pays a credit card. So what's the status of that? Is that considered to
once
be...
Once they cash the check, though.
Oh, so look, or once they cash the check, that should be okay. Right. So what about... But,
Not by credit card, though. But when are they
going to cash the check? I give a check to some Hamish Esra guy. He's going to stick it in a who knows. After Chalabai, he's going to check. I don't know when he's going to cash his check. So what about the credit card? I put something on a credit card. So now what's the status of that? So I put something on a credit card. So the post can say also that if they get the money from the credit card company, they don't have to wait until I pay my bill next month. If they get the cash, somebody else is laying out the money on my behalf, so that's going to work. So if and when they collected the cash from the credit card company, the vendor already collected his money from Visa, so that would be okay. How long does that take? Anybody know? Depends how long the guy gives in the stuff. No, does it depend on it? It could take a couple of days. This is all hearsay, but.
I think for a day or two, it usually shows up in the statement saying pending, which I assume means that it hasn't been paid out yet.
But why is not the credit card company a shaliach for the vendor? So you get charged, a person gets charged instantaneously. It goes into an account. It's irrelevant how the merchant gets it. But you've been charged, and you're sort of like giving it to a shaliach of the merchant.
Right, so that's what some have tried to argue, that maybe we're misunderstanding the credit card setup. That's
another problem, that you have a certain amount of time to avoid.
Right. So again, I don't know enough about the intricacies of how the credit card... Bekosha know how to pay my bill. I don't know how to understand what the alumnus behind it is. But the bottom line is that one could potentially raise the same issue when it comes to credit cards as well. So if that's the case, then we raise another red flag. A guy's buying his little Vanessa egg. Wait a second. What method is he using? So if he's using a check, so we add a little bit of an issue on that. If he's using a credit card, we're a little bit concerned about that also. So maybe the best way to buy a little Vanessa, believe it or not, is through cash. Maybe in a chanami. Maybe that's the best, easiest, cleanest way to buy a little Vanessa, not to have to worry about anything. I'm not saying to avoid paying taxes. I didn't say that. I'm saying to pay the cash, to pay whatever the rules are, whatever the lawyers got to do. But in terms of just to get around a lot of these mumnes issues, unless a person buys the Levin Esther a couple of days before Sukkot, and he's pretty confident that they're going to actually charge the credit, that they're going to actually collect the money before Sukkot starts. So again, these are just potential chumras, is all working within the mindset that we want to get an Asinus Kesef in. If we're not so worried about the Asinus Kesef in the first place, those items, pay with a credit card, pay with a check, pay whatever you want, and just rely on the Kinyan Meshicha, rely on the Kinyan in the Kinyan Kalev, rely on the Kinyan Chatzar, etc. So again, Me'ikah Mikra Din, if a person takes the Levin Ezra into his house, so Me'ikah Din, he's kind of with the Kinyan Chatzar. If he takes it into his car, so he's kind of with the Kinyan Kalev, that's the Ikra Din. Those who, for whatever reason, are not relying on that, either according to some poskim, if the car is not your car, if the house is not your house. So if a person wants to be more concerned that he wants to make a real formal kinyan kesef, so then he would have to, the best way to do it would be to pay with cash.
I think if you pay your credit card bill, so meaning you paid the money to the credit card company, but the merchant hasn't collected
yet.
I mean,
I pay before I get the statement.
Right, you know, meaning...
How am I going to know what to mean? I'll send...
If you go online,
I go to the Levin, I go buy a Levin Esrog, and then 5 minutes later, I send $100, what do I pay? I pay with a check. How does that help? I gotta send cash. It says in the envelope, do not send cash. I don't know. It gets a little tricky.
I lost track. Did we establish that paper currency is...
Yeah, so we're assuming that's cash? It may not be good for Pinyan Ben, because maybe it's not called a Dovish, a Gufa Mammon, but it's still... So Pinyan Ben may fall short. But in terms of being Kesef, or at least Shava Kesef, even though it's not literally Kesef, it's at least Shava Kesef, it is worth something. I can take the $100 and use it to trade, to barter for $100 worth of silver, so at least it's called Shava Kesef, so then that would be good for Kedushin, for Mammonis, etc. Pinyan Ben maybe would fall short.
$10 bill would be okay at the chuppah?
If I would hand a woman a $10 bill, yeah, that would be good. That would for sure be good. Yeah.
In the Pinyan Abed case...
I don't know if she'll be happy about it, but yeah.
In the Pinyan Abed case, if I go to the swarm store and I buy that set of Israeli coins, right, the day before I'm doing the Pinyan Abed...
And I buy with a credit card.
I buy with a credit card.
That's the same story. They're not my coins. Yeah, that's right.
The kid could grow up without having to grow up.
Again, these are combinations of chumras here. This is not the ikar adin. Please, it's not the ikar adin. Anyway, getting back to the story. So this was all on the side, getting back to the Rashba. So the Rashba is the one who got the whole ball rolling, and he's the one who said that the pshat in the Gemara about shtar, when the Gemara was discussing the shtar in Poldu Behekesh Maisashani and the shtar condition, so the Rashba said the Shakvatar Gemara was talking about the wasn't talking about the RU. It couldn't have been talking about the RU because the RU would never have been good for Kedushin anyway, Bitoris Kedushin Kesef. So what is the shtar that the Gemara is talking about? Remember back in the Hey, when the Gemara says we're trying to derive shtar from Kesef, and the Gemara says, no, Kesef's better because you could use it to be paid to Hektish and Maisa Shani. Shtar, you can't. What is that shtar the Gemara is talking about? So the Rashba came from left field and has a different shtar. The shtar is, someone is writing, Hare Hektish Shalcha Padoi. Somebody is writing, Hare Maisa Shani Shalcha Padoi. That's the Chiddush HaTorah that doesn't work. That's the Gzeres HaKosef. Kesef, yeah, shtar, no. Venosna Kesef HaKamlo. A type of a shtar that says on it, Hare Maisa Shani Shalcha Padoi, Hare Hektish Shalcha Padoi. That's not acceptable. So, in order to understand the Rashba, we have to go back a step. Wait a second. That would have been okay. It means that could have conceivably been had Pidyon Hektish. The only reason why it doesn't work is a quirk of Gzeres HaKosef, Kesef HaLo Shtar. Can somebody explain to me, describe to me, what that shtar means exactly? Who just wrote that shtar? Who is authorized to write that shtar? So normally the meicher has to authorize the writing of the shtar. The meicher writes, Hare sadi mechur lecha. Who's writing the shtar? So by Hektish, we can kvetch. It's the gizbar, the treasurer of the Beis Hamikdash, has a certain din and mamnus relationship. He's in charge. He has the authority to document to write such a document. Who exactly is going to write the Maisa Sheni document? The tree? The field? Who's going to write? Mr. Maisa Sheni? Who is Maisa Sheni? There is no Maisa Sheni. Who's going to write the document that says, Hare Maisa Sheni shecha padoi? So, l'chor, it's a pella on the Rashba. So, the later Rechmarim ask in the Rashba, the Gemara says that a shtar really should have been good for Pidyon Maisa Sheni, but Nebuch the Torah says, Kesef lo shtar. What do you mean a shtar should have been good? Who in the world would have authorized such a shtar? There's no such entity, no such concept called a shtar Maisa Sheni. That's one problem with the Rashba. There are other problems with the Rashba. Hopefully, Mitzvah Shem, next week, we have to go back to the Rashba's Pshat and analyze all the difficulties with the Rashba and then continue on to our Sugya and go back to what the ABCs are of shtar or Kesef Sheni, what the give and take of that is all about. But next week, we'll continue with this point of the Rashba.